The Apple case is just one on the Supreme Court docket that might be affected by a court in turmoil and that might have only 8 justices until well into next year. The White House leaked a possible name this week to fill the vacancy left by the death of Justice Scalia, a Republican, Nevada Governor Brian Sandoval, but then he removed himself from consideration. With us is Todd Zwillig, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Todd, has the White House signaled that it's drawing the Republicans into kind of a setup, that it will continually raise names of moderate, even conservative justices and force the Senate to be obstructionist here and then work that into the election?
Well, John, I think you've put your finger, I think you know where this is going, which is the opening gambits in a game of three-dimensional chess that is shaping up between Senate Republicans, President Barack Obama, and the presidential race. And it is multi-level with risks and benefits all over it. First, the throat clearing. Give you an idea of how all the players are approaching the three-dimensional chessboard here. Harry Reid says the Republicans will cave. They will eventually hold a hearing. They will consider a nominee because we will put so much pressure on them. Mitch McConnell says there's not a snowball's chance in hell I'll cave, his words that he used in a meeting with Republicans. And then Judiciary Chairman Charles Grassley, who we're going to listen to here on the Senate floor after Harry Reid threw some insults his way too.
Yesterday, the minority leader came to the floor to disparage the work of the Senate Judiciary Committee and also disparage the work of the Senate as a whole. And of course, as he does from time to time, he launched into a personal attack against me. Childish tantrums aren't appropriate for the Senate.
Well, tantrums are one thing, but senators worried about their own reelection is something else.
Yeah, they sure are. And we've talked time and again about the Senate Republicans who are up for reelection in states that Barack Obama won, in blue states or purple states. They are people like Ron Johnson in Wisconsin or Pat Toomey in Pennsylvania. Mark Kirk of Illinois is one of the Republican senators who has said, I disagree with McConnell's strategy. I will meet with an Obama Supreme Court pick if that person comes up to the Hill. Senator Susan Collins of Maine, the moderate, said the same thing. But the politics is complicated. Look, there's a benefit here of saying we're not going to let the liberal, unpopular Barack Obama change the ideological tilt of the court for a generation. That makes sense for Republicans. But there's risk all over it. The obstruction, John, you mentioned it. Who is Barack Obama going to nominate? Not just anyone. He's going to nominate an avatar for Democrats' election aspirations, right? Somebody that makes Republicans look obstructionist and mean if they refuse to even meet with that person. They don't want to have a hearing. They want to avoid the spectacle of a hearing. Everybody remembers hearings like Clarence Thomas or Robert Bork. The public pays attention. Republicans might seem like they need to be really, really tough on that person. Maybe Ted Cruz is on the campaign trail, raining down purity on this entire process, making it impossible for those Republicans who need flexibility to have any. I asked Rob Portman, he's a Republican, he's running for re-election in Ohio, which Obama won twice, about the politics of this, and yeah, it's complicated.
No, you tell me what you think. I mean, I think it's very difficult to know that. I think you do what's right, and let the politics sort themselves out.
Well, it seems like the politics are sorted. The White House holds all the cards here. The White House can actually propose a conservative justice. The Senate can obstruct. And then if the Democrats win the White House, the expectation is that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is going to retire. And so they still get a liberal justice to nominate.
John, you're good at three-dimensional chess. I think maybe you've considered this. They could do that. Look, it's unlikely to have such kind of a cute gambit as nominating a conservative. I think what you're likely to see is that avatar of the aspirations of Democrats, of liberals, that person that can be a rallying cry for the re-election camp, for the election campaign of Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders or whoever the Democratic nominee should choose to be. And also the idea from Democrats of Senate dysfunction. Look, John, there's an argument over how much precedent is involved here. You guys did it. No, you guys did it. But we really should put a fine point on this. It has been at least 140 years since a Supreme Court nominee has not had a hearing or a vote. And the Senate here really is scraping the bottom of the barrel when it comes to dysfunction. Regardless of whose fault it is, this really is the bottom of the barrel. And I asked Lindsey Graham how bad this has gotten, whether this is payback for all the fights of the last 10 to 15 years over judicial nominees and obstruction. Listen to Lindsey.
I felt completely betrayed. you're not going to screw me over and ask me to do you a favor that is really not consistent with the traditions of the Senate.
That's amazing.
Completely betrayed. He says Lindsey Graham voted for Sonia Sotomayor, voted for Elena Kagan. He says, not this time.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, thanks so much.
You got it, John.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.